Well,
something, Scott.
You look very well, sir, and it's good to see you and talk with you. What are you drinking there? Strawberry Seagram's? You getting drunk tonight?
No, I don't have like two cases of that. That's what it would take.
Okay.
Okay. All right, man. So what happened?
I have no idea. I was literally talking to you, and all of a sudden it just...
I know. It froze up, and I was like, why are you standing really still?
Yeah, no.
Like you were trying to mess with me, and then I sat there for a minute, and you still didn't move, and I'm like, oh, I think he's gone.
No, oh, I thought it was you. I don't know.
Wow.
So it's working right now.
It's working out. All right. Then let's make the magic happen.
Let's make the magic happen.
Three, two, one. Hey, and welcome to a very cold night in Dallas, Texas, as we're recording this great show of shows.
It is a show of shows. The show of shows. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger are back together again. We're a duo. It's true. If you can know that movie, you win all the cookies.
That'd be the second time you've stumped me on movie quotes today. But he is right. This is Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger, hanging out with you. It's always such a good time to talk about movies and entertainment. And it's been a while. We weren't together last week and got to just, I don't know, had to get back our schedule all fixed.
Yeah.
But what was it? You quoted something today, movie-wise.
Oh, no. What did I quote?
I don't know. You quoted something. I was like, I don't know what that is. And you're like, oh, because you don't like movies. from
Dazed and Confused.
Something from Dazed and Confused, which it's not a bad movie. It's just not.
You were just saying things you were going to do, and I was like, oh, okay, Party at the Moon Tower, and you were like, I don't know what that means.
No, I didn't know what that meant.
So that's on you, Shoot. Sir.
Hang on, we got to start over. I didn't hit record. Suck.
Oh, that's fantastic.
All right, we're going to pretend like none of that happened.
That was awesome.
I told you, man, I'm all out of sorts. All right, let's try that again.
Three,
two, one. Welcome to another great show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger hanging out with you together again in this great year of 2018 to talk about some movies, some entertainment, some sportage, all sort of things we're going to get into as normal in this week's show. It's good to see my good friend Brian back together. He's all furry-faced. Is this going to be your new look for 2018, this big beard thing?
No, it's just I haven't had a beard since, I think, the year 2000 like this. So 18 years later, mostly, I just like, oh, let's give it a try. So I've had it trimmed twice, so if that tells you anything. And it's not really that long. But I noticed that there's like gray hairs, there's red hairs, there's light brown hairs, there's blonde hairs, and dark brown hairs in this beard. So it's just a rainbow of beard hair over me.
All right. So there wasn't anything that spurred it on? You just decided this is the year to have a beard? Nothing like hit you didn't see somebody with a beard or somebody said, hey, you should grow a beard?
No, it's... did it. Yeah, I think... right after Denver, when I got back from Denver, I didn't shave for a few days. I was like, oh, let's see if I grow this out. Like, because usually when I try to grow it out, I just get real antsy and start itching, but I stuck it mm-hmm. through this time. I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. I haven't had a beard and a mustache in like 18 years, so let's give it a shot. So right now, I'm enjoying it for the most part, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I started growing mine in November, obviously. Every November, I start growing one. And usually around Christmas, I'll shave it. Because I'm the same way, man. I just get to that point where it's like, I don't like it. It's either I don't want to wait for it to grow really huge in. And then it grows really big and full. And I'll get, like, bored and I'll shave it down. And my wife's like, are you going to shave it or are you going to keep it? What are you going to do? So I just get bored with it. I can't commit the long haul.
Well, that's how I am. I was like, I'll probably at some point get tired of this and I'll just shave it off, or I'll do like a mustache that just goes all the way down to, you know, the stomach or something.
The ultimate Fu Manchu.
Yes.
The ultimate. Well, we are going to talk a lot on this show today about movies and entertainment. I noticed on the run sheet we're going to get into some Star Wars news. If you watched the Super Bowl last weekend, you got a little tease of the Han Solo film, and then the full trailer released on Monday. So we're going to talk about that, plus some other things going on. I want to talk about something that actually, after we record the show this week, I'm actually going to finally sit down and watch something that Brian has watched and doesn't like. And we're going to talk about that as well. But first, let's look at the box office. Are you surprised? Jumanji, still number one after 7 weeks.
I'm not surprised at all because it's The Rock and Kevin Hart, and it's family friendly, and there literally is nothing out, like, coming out. Like, I bet you it'll go down when, like, right before the Oscars, when theaters start showing the Oscar films again. But until then, there's not a lot coming out in January and February, and Jumanji is just – everybody's just going to see Jumanji because there's really nothing else to see.
Yeah, and we say number one, it only did $10 million. And it's number one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it barely beat out the new Maze Runner film. Winchester was pretty much the only new thing that released. And it released at number one at 9.3. It's not like Jumanji slaughtered Winchester, which is the horror film based on the woman who inherits the Winchester firearm franchise and thinks that the souls of the people killed by the rifles are haunting her. So that tells you anything. So it barely beat it by like $1 million, but still, that put it down in third. So, yeah, I'm just not really surprised. And you talk about Oscar films. I mean, The Post is still doing well. That's an Oscar film. Shape of Water, 10 weeks in. It's still at number nine. It's not doing too bad. So it's not a horrible run. I just want to see The Greatest Showman get more attention. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see The Greatest Showman. And The Greatest Showman has done well. That's made like $300 million so far. I think that's doing well. I think people are seeing it. So
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to really dive into some movies that are releasing in February, some Star Wars stuff, and much more right here on the show.
Let's get this antique on the road show.
Yeah, I really like Jumanji, but, and you're right, there's literally nothing else out.
Yeah, nothing's coming out, so that's why it's here.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. So you want to talk about all of movies in February?
Yeah, we could just say like this is what's to come out in February because usually February is terrible, but it looks like there's actually one or two movies that could be amazing.
All right, we can do that. And 3, 2, 1. Wrong button. Yep. And welcome back to the show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. Of course, you can visit me at mungleshow.com. Check Brian out at boomstickcomics.com and High Def Digest. He has been writing. He tells me all these great Blu-ray stuff. So we're going to talk about February movies here in a minute. But I guess because there is such a lull in the theater, obviously you're getting a slew of Blu-rays and DVDs, which we're going to talk a little bit about later on the show. But I guess you've just been having an onslaught of home entertainment stuff to write about.
Oh, my gosh. It's nonstop. Like, it's just like maybe 3 to 5 a day.
Wow.
It's just, I try to get them out as fast as I can.
I don't realize there's that much releasing, you know, because I get like one or two a week, maybe. So to get that many a day, I don't know how you stay on top of it.
It's just you constantly put something in, and then you're writing as you're watching and, you know, all the extras and all that good stuff. And there's some good ones and there's some terrible ones.
Yeah, well, that's anything. So let's just jump into February. You mentioned during the break to me that February is normally not a good month for movies. And we've talked about that even in the past. There's usually not a lot coming out the first part of the year between January and Oscars. That's usually where a lot of just junk comes out. But you said you're excited about a few movies coming out in February.
I am. And it's interesting. Over like the past year or two, in February, we've had Get Out and Deadpool released in February, which is really cool. But, you know, you have movies like 50 Shades Freed, Peter Rabbit, The 1517 to Paris. Doesn't look good. But you have movies like Black Panther, the new Marvel film, and Annihilation, which is the Natalie Portman horror film that looks really good. And I think those two movies actually might be excellent. Like, I think those are good movies for February. And God bless Marvel for releasing Black Panther in February. But I get it. It's probably coincided with Black History Month. But usually Marvel saves their stuff for summertime. And we're getting a February one, which is smart because there's nothing else out. And it could probably do very well for a long period of time.
Yeah, I agree because, yeah, Black Panther, I mean, it's obviously very, very concise with Black History Month. So kudos to them for that. But, yeah, that's still a risky move. It's a very risky move to release something like that in February. But at the same time, maybe it's smart because, as we're going to talk about in the months to come, this summer looks huge. There's so much great stuff coming out this summer.
Oh, so maybe this. Yeah, there. It's insane this summer. There's like in 1 month, it's like Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, and like a rock movie. Like it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
It is. It's insane. So I really hope Black Panther does well. It's PG-13. It's over 2 hours long. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, which I'm not that excited about. But it looks. The trailer looks great. Fabulous, releases February 16th. And you mentioned Annihilation. We see Black Panther, I think, next week, and then we see Annihilation like right after that. But it releases February 23rd. And you're right, it's the Natalie Portman drama, fantasy, horror, mystery, sci-fi, thriller. It's everything. I know, it is. It's all of those. And it's about a biologist who signs up for a dangerous secret expedition where the laws of nature don't apply. This thing could go either way.
The trailers,
it's got a great cast.
Yeah, the trailers look like it's right out of an Alien story or like Alien, like with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
But
that
we'll see.
Mean it's good.
True. But the trailers look good. And it's like kind of like a movie where Natalie Portman doesn't play like the usual, you know, broad in the movie. She looks like she's, right. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, I remember because I really loved her as Queen Amidala. In the early Star Wars franchises, even though those movies were horrible, you know what was that look? What was that look, dude?
Well, I thought you were really gonna go like, I really love those prequels. It's like, oh god, here we go.
No. I really liked her in that role, and then we got to see her in Jackie a couple of years ago, which is kind of a stiff movie. So we forget that Natalie Portman can be kind of gritty and dirty, and you know, and get her hands mucked a bit.
Yeah, but
you know?
We haven't seen her like really hold the gun and kill things since what? Mm-hmm. Maybe Leon the Professional?
Trying to
think of one since then.
Yeah, and who knows what she's going to do in this one? She's a biologist. So, you know, she might throw test tubes at people. Who knows? But it's also got Jennifer Jason Leigh and Oscar Isaac in it. So that's a great cast. So, I'm excited about this. I'm excited that it's coming out in February. And I got to admit, another one that's coming out the same week is Game Night, which is the Rachel McAdams, Jason Bateman film, the R-rated action comedy. Have you seen the trailer for this? I mean, it kind of looks fun.
I did, and it just looks like the same schlock as, like, Horrible Bosses, which I think it's made by the Horrible Bosses people. And it just, I don't know, there might be a couple funny lines in it, but I don't have my hopes up.
Yeah. Now, a movie I did see, which I went into it very low expectations because of the gothic horror genre is so hard to do. But there's a film called The Lodgers, which releases the 23rd. It's a little 90-minute film, takes place in 1920s Ireland, but it's this perfect gothic horror film. I mean, it's got the look, the style, the feel, the angst, everything about it. So I don't know if you had a chance to see The Lodgers. Did they send you a link for that?
I don't think I've watched it yet, but
you need to watch it. Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, finally, Brian O'Malley is the one that directed it. Finally, somebody captured what gothic films are supposed to be. It's got a great ghost story to it. The two characters are these Irish twins, Rachel and Edward. So there's this whole almost kind of incestual gothic thing going on with them. It's a great horror film. I mean, the castle or this place they live. In the village that they live, it's just, I mean, everything about it just oozes goth. So if you're a fan of that and you've wanted something for a long time that really enhances that genre, then The Lodgers is definitely one to see.
Okay. All right.
Well, so anything else in February you're excited about?
Other stuff in February? Not too much as far as theatrical releases. Early Man by the people who did Wallace and Gromit, maybe.
No.
I know. You don't like movies, so.
No, it's not. I just told you two movies I like.
No, it's just really Black Panther and Annihilation. I guess I'm just out. Like, I don't know what the party is. I don't know what nostalgia or every day is. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's camp out on Early Man for just a minute. It's a PG film. So the it's less than 90 minutes. And you're right. It's the Wallace and Gromit people. It's that who I don't like. I don't like any of the Shaun of the Sheep, Shaun or whatever that is. Or I don't like any of those Wallace and Gromit type claymation films. I just don't. There's nothing appealing. But I know I'm kind of alone in that. Some people love it. So
I like those movies. They're fun.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Why? I don't like that. I just don't like the way the animation's done with the big teeth and the just the way the animals look.
Are you scared
look
of it?
Not scared of it. I just don't like that kind of animation. You know me. I don't like animation hardly at all anyway.
Yes, which is so weird.
I will embrace a Pixar or well done DreamWorks or Disney film. But nope.
Okay.
New Burly Man.
All right.
And then Samson comes out that week. Which Samson, that's a little early for that too. I mean, we're not even to Lent yet. And they're doing Samson.
Samson?
No.
Yeah, talk to Samson.
Those are your people.
They are my people. Billy Zane's in that movie and Rutger Hauer, which is fantastic.
He's still alive?
Yes, he is. Actually, I just watched a movie with him in it. It was a movie that we'll talk about over the Blu-ray section, but yes, Rutger Hauer is very much alive. But yeah, a biblical epic of a champion chosen by God to deliver Israel. But
you know how it ends if you read the book.
Yeah, you know how it ends. Is anybody going to really see this movie? Not really, no.
Yeah, we'll see, but probably no. That should be straight to video.
Yes.
Yeah, or one of those one-night Fathom events. Anyway, let's take a small break. Come back, talk some Star Wars, which we all love. Then we will get in some Blu-ray 4Ks. And then it says on here, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Western TV show. That's all I need to know. So we're going to find out more about that. Take a small break. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you on the show.
Hooray.
Hooray for Hollywood. I think I'd like Samson more if it was animated.
You just said you don't like animated movies.
I know that should tell you something.
I don't understand you.
Chaos.
You're a conundrum and an enigma.
Wrapped in a bacon sandwich.
Bacon.
All right, so let's see. This segment's going to be 6 minutes. All right. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger with you again. Check out all of our stuff at mungleshow.com and even more stuff that you could, if you could pack a website so full that it spews out the size of your computer monitor, that would be boomstickcomics.com. We found out more with Brian Kluger and then highdefdigest.com. Talking about movies, Blu-rays, 4Ks coming up, a little Arnold Schwarzenegger, something or another going to be happening later. Kind of surprised about that. But let's talk Star Wars. Sunday night at the Super Bowl, they released this little short trailer for the new Solo movie about Han Solo, and then the trailer came out Monday. First of all, did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
And did your team win?
I mean, I didn't watch a football game all year, but, I always pray for a good game over Super Bowl, and I guess – in the spirit of rivalries, even though I'm supposed to hate the Eagles.
Why are you supposed to hate the Eagles?
Because Eagles fans and Dallas fans never get along.
Yeah. I talked about this on last week's show. I know you weren't here. I thought that too, but then I was listening to a sports station, Don't Pass Out, as I was driving to work one day, and they had some of the former Cowboy players on. And they were talking about the fact that you need to root for the Eagles during the Super Bowl.
That's what I did.
Because they said that the Cowboys are your first family, then your division is your next family, and then your conference is your next family. Right. So if the Cowboys can't win the Super Bowl, you need to root for the next team in line.
Right.
So you have to root for the Eagles.
Yes.
And I know it's hard, but probably not hard for you. You haven't watched a game all year.
No, I didn't watch a game all year. But
you got a good game out of it.
It was a great game. It came down to the last play, basically.
Yeah, so let me just ask you. The defense doesn't push in, doesn't cause that fumble. Does Tom Brady leave his team back and they win? Was that the play of the game, that last fumble? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. No, I think the Eagles still would have won. But it would have been much closer. However, during that fumble, you could see the Patriots just like they lost it. Like it was over right at that moment. It was completely over. They're like, oh nope, we're out. And so they kind of gave up after that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a chink in your armor. You're like, whoa, I'm not invincible.
Yep.
So, yeah. So anyway, enough about the Super Bowl. But it was a good game. I will admit that it was a really, really good game. So during that, though, did you like the little teaser they did for Solo?
I did a lot, like surprisingly more than I thought I would. You know, you see, you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to get the Kessel Run. We're going to get Chewie and Han Solo. And oh my God, look at Donald Glover. He is Lando.
Wow.
Excited. I am so excited.
That little bit right there was better than the whole teaser we got. Lando.
And so I was just real excited because it looks like an act. I mean, it looks like you're just like in the midst of a Star Wars film, and I'm so excited for it. Just judging by this trailer. But in addition to that Solo news, we got two big Star Wars announcements today.
What did we get? Well, I'm sorry. I actually work for a living.
Oh,
I was working all day. What did I miss?
You missed two big Star Wars announcements. The first one, I'll save the best for the last. The first one is that Bob Iger said that very, very soon they are going to announce one of several Star Wars TV shows for the upcoming Disney exclusive streaming app.
Like animated, like some more
Clone Wars new live action stuff.
What's it going to be about?
They don't know. We don't know yet. It hasn't been announced, but he just announced like there's going to be one announced of several. But the big news is the Game of Thrones, HBO's Game of Thrones showrunners, D.B. Weiss and Benioff, who write and showrun, produce the show, have just been handed their own Star Wars trilogy separate from Rian Johnson's trilogy to make for Star Wars and Disney.
Do we know what they're going to base it on?
No, they got their own trilogy now. The Game of Thrones people are going to make a Star Wars trilogy, meaning possibly, perhaps, but probably definitely not a rated R Star Wars trilogy. It won't happen. Right. But,
well, we talked about this many times. Star Wars doesn't need R rated. Star Wars has its fan base, and they need to be loyal to that fan base. They need to stay in the Star Wars universe. We don't need a Game of Thrones Star Wars. That said, I'm trying to think of what elements of Star Wars, maybe whose storyline would fit in something that would be that epic and that bloody and that, you know, it's still staying in the universe, but...
Well, in the books, there's a Darth Bane, and you'd probably, I mean, that would be cool for the Game of Thrones people to do, but they might do their own thing. Nothing is, they just got their own trilogy, meaning now the question is Star Wars going to become oversaturated like Marvel and DC movies are? Like, well, now, yeah. Now we have the episodes and they've said they're going to continue with the Skywalker line. We have the spinoffs. We have Rian Johnson's trilogy and now the Game of Thrones one trilogy and then TV shows. It's a lot of Star Wars. Which
is
fine.
We're going to take a small break, but I want to camp on that a little bit because you hit on a very important part of that. So we're going to take a small break, come back, talk a little bit more about Star Wars, some 4K Blu-ray, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you right here on the show. Yeah, we need to touch on that a little bit because that's good.
You said touch. How's your Smirnoff Ice?
Dude, it's good. I love these, man.
It's Seagram's, right?
Seagram's Escapes. Yeah. I get the variety packs. You get the blue ones and the green ones and the red ones.
Is it like really, is it like drinking like those sugary soda drinks, but with a little kick?
Yeah, it only has like 3.2% alcohol per volume.
Okay.
So it's like Kool-Aid with a little kick. Too much. I just like them because they're fruitily fun. All right, let's go. 3, 2, 1. And welcome back to the show of shows. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. Always a blast talking stuff with my buddy. Just getting in and chewing and meeting and just breaking out all this great stuff that's happening, especially in the Star Wars universe. You talked about something at the end of the last break about oversaturation. As a huge Star Wars fan, from the mid 70s, 1975, 77, all of that being there, I was a little disappointed at the oversaturation, because for a while, I mean, you wouldn't see Star Wars stuff in the store. Only diehard fans talked about it. It wasn't just on every street corner, but now everybody's a Star Wars fan. Star Wars is everywhere. It's in every Target. It's in every Walmart. It's in every bookstore. I don't know. To me, it kind of steals some of the grandness away from it. Do you feel that way at all?
Oh, yes. I totally agree. I think when we were growing up, you know, in the late 70s and 80s, everybody saw Star Wars, but there were people, there's a group of people that really loved it where many others didn't. And now, like, you know, with shows like Game of Thrones and, you know, the fantasy stuff, so many more people are into it. So it just kind of feels like it's everybody's now rather than just like, you know, the geeks, nerdy type stuff, which is fine, which is good. But now is the time of, okay, so do we really need 2 Star Wars movies a year? And then a TV show, like, that's a lot to keep up with. Like, think about it. Pro wrestling shown like 3 times a week, and that's way too much. So it's just, and you think about like all the DC and all the Marvel stuff, it's like, oh gosh, there's just too much of it.
Yeah. And the only good part about that is because we are getting a lot of stuff, and we are getting a Han Solo trilogy. We're getting good stuff, backstories. We're getting Rogue One. We're getting some of the stuff on TV. I'm glad to the point that it's all been good. They've really paid attention. They haven't just gone in and just spewed out streams of consciousness and not cared about the franchise. So I will give it that. Kathleen Kennedy, people like that, have really made sure that the franchise is protected. So we don't have just a bunch of slop. We do have solid stuff that's got some meat on the bone and actually fits in the Star Wars realm. So I will say that if there's anything good about it, it's the fact that we have that, even though I do feel it's a little oversaturated. Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Blu-rays and DVDs. I know you mentioned early in the show, you just had this onslaught of them. What's been your favorite thing the last couple of weeks has kind of popped across your desk?
Oh, let's see. Things that I reviewed recently. I guess, you know, the Blade Runner 2049 4K was great. Surprisingly, the Jigsaw 4K was excellent. Even though the Lego Ninjago movie wasn't excellent, it looked and sounded amazing. And then you have so many other good movies, like the Vestron video of the old movie Class of 1999. Fantastic. Better Call Saul Season 3 Blu-ray was amazing, with tons of excellent extras. Killing of a Sacred Deer Blu-ray was really nice. Trying to think of other ones. Oh, ones that are coming out. Wonder. I love the movie Wonder. And
about the kid?
Yes, about the kid, Augie. That's in 4K. Excellent looking film. Good extras. Excellent extras. Definitely a must own for that. There's lots of good ones coming out.
Yeah, there are, and you're right. This is the time of year I've noticed when there's a lull in the theater, but we always get some of the films that released at the end of last year, all the Oscar bait films and the really heavy, heavy stuff that was really great that we're excited about. That stuff we start seeing now between now and end of March, early April. So there's going to be some good stuff coming out. And you mentioned Wonder. We're actually at MungleShow.com. We're giving away copies of Wonder on Blu-ray. We don't have the 4Ks, but we have the Blu-ray, DVD, digital combo pack. So we're giving that away at MungleShow.com. We're giving away Coco, which is out now, which is going to be coming out soon. So you can win a digital copy of that, which we're excited about. And then I know your favorite film of last year, Suburbicon.
Oh, my God, Suburbicon, yes.
So you can win a copy of that. So if you want to jump over to MungleShow.com, you can enter to win a copy of any of those. And of all of those, I think I'm most excited. Have you got the 4K version of Coco? Well, they're not doing a 4K because it's Disney, right?
No, it's 4K. And Disney's doing 4K now. They started with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. But yes, I'm getting the 4K Coco. It hasn't arrived yet because it doesn't come out till the end of the month, along with the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movies, along with Murder on the Orient Express, Straight Out of Compton, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Zero Dark Thirty, all in 4K at the end of the month.
Dang. That's a nice 4K-age.
Yeah, that is. But yeah, Coco look. I'm willing to bet Coco in 4K is going to be the best looking Blu-ray of the year or 4K of the year.
I hope so, because that movie had, if any movie would, it'd be that one because of the color and everything else. And as we've talked about, it's probably going to win the Oscar for Best Animated Film. Mm-hmm. It's won everything else. I mean, it's won Golden Globe. It's won the Critics' Choice Award. So it should, without a problem, win the Oscar for Animated Film of the Year.
I must say, one Blu-ray not to buy or rent or whatever, there's a Blu-ray called Cook-Off. On the front of it, it has Melissa McCarthy on it, and don't buy it. Don't rent it. Why? Don't watch it. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I want to go watch it.
It's so bad.
I love Melissa McCarthy.
Well, you'd think that she would be in it, but she's barely in the
movie. She's only in the cover.
She's like in it for less than 10 minutes. And it was a movie that came out or was made over 10 years ago, and it's been sitting on a shelf for literally over 10 years, and they just released it for no reason. And it's like a Christopher Guest movie, like A Mighty Wind and Best in Show, but over a cooking contest. And it is absolutely horrible.
Man.
Don't do it.
All right.
Just say no.
That's good to know. That's good to know because, you know, I would see it and want to get it because it's got her on the front.
Nope.
Now you're telling me don't.
Yeah, I don't think she shows up until like the 45-minute mark, and then like by the 55-minute mark, she's out.
Hey, you didn't mention The Darkest Hour, or Darkest Hour, not The Darkest Hour. That's a different movie. Darkest Hour.
Oh, well, you know, it's an annoying movie.
All right. Well, you know Gary Oldman's probably going to win the Oscar.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Oh, you mentioned 24 Hours to Live. It's a movie with Ethan Hawke about he plays an assassin who gets killed on duty, but then they bring him back for 24 hours to finish the job. Rutger Hauer's in it.
Oh, yeah. That's the Rutger Hauer reference. It all comes back around to Rutger Hauer. All right. Well, we're going to take another small break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're going to talk some HQ trivia, which I don't even know what that means. And there's something else that you just mentioned that during the break, I'm going to try to remember what it was, but I was going to ask you your thoughts on it. I remember what it is now. So, yeah, I got to ask you your thoughts on that when we come back. It has more to do with movies than Blu-rays. But we're taking a small break. Come back with more. Matt Mungall, Brian Kluger here with you. MungallShow.com, BoomstickComics.com, or High Def Digest for all that movie stuff. Take a small break. Come back right after this. Good segment. And you get all kind of cool 4K stuff. I got to find out who to bribe, steal, or...
Well,
sexually molest.
Yes, please me. A lot of movies come out with 4Ks, but a couple times, like with our new Disney, or I should say this because we're recording, but sometimes they'll ask in an email, like, "Oh, we don't have this 4K," and I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do the 4K because I have covered 4K, and I like highly." I write in detail about the video and audio portions of this for the readers in detail, and then they're like, "Oh, okay," and they'll send it. I've looked at some other sites and I've seen like if they do a Blu-ray or 4K review, a lot of them don't mention video or audio or extras. They just talk about the movie and like, "Oh, it's out now."
Right, right.
So,
I will say that's what's really cool about what you do is you really look at it from a technical standpoint.
Well, because there are people who have the big sound systems, they want to know like, "Oh, is the audio good? How is the 4K or in Dolby Vision or an HDR10 even better than the standard?" Of course it is, but how much is it, like just a little uptick or majorly? Right.
And this stuff's good to know. For instance, I was so disappointed in the 4K version of Baby Driver.
Really?
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
I didn't think it looked or sounded good at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird. So, you know how much I love that film.
I do too. And I have the 4K.
Yeah. So I found the sound on it was just. Yeah.
Did you watch it correctly?
Well, I don't know about that. Well, everything else I think sounds really, really good.
Okay. So,
but yeah, there's just something about maybe there's something about that I need to tweak on mine to see. I don't know.
No, I thought the both video and audio were great, and I thought that extra added height speakers are great for the Dolby Atmos.
All right. Well, maybe I need to tweak some things and watch it again.
Okay.
That's what I need to do. All right. Let's see. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you, chomping away at some movies and news and Blu-rays and DVDs. What I was thinking about the end of the last segment I want to ask you about, because you mentioned it really quick. You're mentioning everything that's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD and 4K upscaling and all that. The Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited about the Alicia Vikander Tomb Raider film that's coming out?
Not one bit.
No, because of why? Because of the character or because of her or because of what is it about it that you're not excited about?
It just looks bad. Looks terrible. Looks like a poorly done film. And
I don't think she would do poorly. I'm a huge fan of Alicia Vikander.
I know you are, but
and all the training that she went through to become Lara Croft. I don't know, man. I hope it's good. I am with you in the fact that it doesn't look like it's going to be good.
I hope everything's good, but it's not going to be. And it sucks to say that, but yeah, the trailer, the posters, it just all look terrible. And trust me, I played the video games, and they're amazing. If they really went by like the recent video games they made, it's awesome. But I can just say that it's not going to be like that.
All right.
Hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong too, but I guess we'll see what we see. Well, in this segment, you put on the run sheet Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Western TV show. What does that mean?
Okay, so breaking news today, Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed on to star in a TV series strictly for Amazon. And the show is called Outrider. And it is a Western TV series. And it basically takes place in Oklahoma Indian Territory in the late 1800s about a deputy and a ruthless federal marshal who are out to take out people. And Arnold will play the federal marshal who, as a kid, immigrated to the U.S. from Europe as a child. So it's going to take place in the 1800s. It's going to be – I mean – I'm trying to remember a movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a Western, and I don't think there is one.
Yeah, there was one.
I don't think so.
Are you sure? And it's funny because my question, as soon as you said that, the question in my head was, how was he going to get around that accent in an 1800s Western? But then it's like, oh, yeah, he came in from Europe. It's like they had to find some way. Yeah. For him to have heavy accent and it work. Because he can't do another act. He couldn't do 1800s Oklahoma.
I mean, if you get Arnold, he's not going to not have his Arnold accent. He's, like, known for that. So
and he can't do another accent. He's not a good enough actor. You've got people who are so freaking British, and you wouldn't know they're British. They could sound like they're from the southern part of Louisiana. Because they know how to act. Arnold can't do it. But he can only do Arnold.
If you've seen Arnold recently, you would think like his real life is a Western because he's kind of like adopted like the boots and belt and cigar and hat type of thing recently. But I'm excited for this. And, you know, I don't know if you interviewed him when he was here a few years ago, but I got a chance to talk to him, to Arnold. And I asked him, you know, my usual favorite scenes in movies type of thing. And he said that the reason he got into movies that inspired him were the old John Wayne Westerns. And I feel like he hasn't ever made one. So this is like his dream, basically.
And he couldn't make one because of the accent. They had to finally find a script where he could be from Europe and have that heavy accent. But I just look, yeah, you're right. He's never been in a Western. I looked through all of these.
You did? Okay, good. Yeah. Like that's what I'm about to do is like, yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, I scanned his whole repertoire and not one Western.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's all sci-fi action and maybe a little bit of comedy. But
yeah, you had some humor stuff in there. But
yeah, this is the first Western. And I'm like real excited because I could picture him with like either like a beard or like real like a big 5 o'clock shadow and a cigar, just like the poncho and the cowboy hat and him riding on a horse. I'm like, dude, Arnold's going to be like a giant buff Western dude.
Poor horse. I just feel bad for whatever horse got that gig.
Well, like Arnold's like 5'2". So, I mean, he's not as heavy as you would think. He's not like 6'3".
Yeah, it's not like Dwayne Johnson on a horse, I guess. Anyway, so that's interesting. Yeah. And, you know, if there's anything I dislike more than animation, it's Westerns. So you have to tell me how it is because I'm not going to watch it.
Wait, you got to watch. There's so many good Westerns, Matthew.
No, can't do it. No, the only Western I think I really like is Outlaw Josie Wells with Clint Eastwood. I can stomach that one. And I liked the True Grit redo that the Coen brothers did.
So you just named two Westerns you like.
I had to dig deep to find one I tolerate. Tolerate's more than like. I tolerated both of those. I would never watch them again. If there's a Western on TV, I don't stop and watch.
That's craziness.
Why?
Because, like, Unforgiven and Open Range and...
With the deer? With the deer and the bunny? Oh, that's Open Season.
Never mind. No. That's an anime movie. Look at you. You secretly love... Either you're a masochist or you love these movies. That
I just know a lot about nothing. All right, so what's HQ Trivia? I know here you got HQ Trivia. We got about a minute left in the segment. I got to find out what this is because I love trivia. If there's anything I love more than movies, it's trivia.
Okay, HQ Trivia is a few months old app you can download for free on your iPhone, and it's live trivia twice a day with a host, and they give you real-time answers and questions. You have 10 seconds to answer 12 questions, and it is for cash money. Usually it's $2,500. The most I've seen it go for is $20,000. But they range from hard to very easy questions, and it's a lot of fun. Twice a day at 2 p.m., 8 p.m. Central Time.
And everybody plays live, and then whoever survives the onslaught
splits it. So I've seen it like people get $2 before, and people get as much as like $175.
Dude, more. I'm going to download that bad boy today.
Yeah, HQ Trivia. It's awesome. And it's like all live, all in real time. When they read the question and you answer it, it gives you like how many people got it wrong, how many people go on. And once you get it wrong, you're out. You can still watch it, but you can't answer anymore.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's just take a break now so I can go download this thing. So I'm going to go download it, take a break, come back and talk about some wrestling right here on the show.
Wrestling. You'll like this game, HQ Trivia, man.
Love trivia, man.
You'll like it. 12 questions, it's easy. It lasts about, less than 10 minutes. And like I said, they have live hosts, like, reading you the questions. You just sign on.
How do they get money? Sponsors? Ads?
So, no, there's no ads, no sponsors yet. What they do, they have a few people in Silicon Valley who are investing in it, and they are supplying the money for the winnings. And I guess when you win, it goes – you give them your PayPal account, and they transfer the money whenever you want to.
Yeah, cool.
But you can let it build up or just take it as it comes. But I've never won yet. I've only gotten 8 questions right before I lose out.
Pressure. All right, let's do this last segment. Man, it's almost 10 o'clock. It's past my bedtime. One, two, three. Welcome back to the final segment of this week's show. Love hanging out with my buddy, Brian Kluger. I am Matt Mungle. You can visit us at mungleshow.com. Check Brian out at Boomstick Comics, High Dev Digest. He's got a Multimedia Men podcast that he does, so not just this show. He's got a YouTube channel, which is probably explicit, but if you're brave enough, go check that out.
There's some really dark stuff on there.
Yeah. In fact, if you look up dark web in the dictionary, it's got Brian's face.
That's true. Very true.
I know. It is. He's a good guy. He's a wealth of knowledge. And honored to call him friend. So even though he likes wrestling. So in a contract. Every week you get to talk wrestling, and there was a big one, the Royal Rumble. That's kind of like the Super Bowl of wrestling, isn't it?
Well, no. WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of wrestling, true. But I would say the most favorite out of most fans is Royal Rumble because it's the match where 30 people get in the ring. One comes out every 90 seconds. You never know who's going to come out, and until one's left standing. And the only
did they already have it, or is it coming up?
No, it already happened. It happened on January 28th in Philadelphia. And they had the first ever women's Royal Rumble, which was awesome. So it was actually, surprisingly, one of the best Royal Rumbles they've had in recent memory. Some people came back. Rey Mysterio came back. The Hurricanes coming through came back. We saw Trish Stratus, Lita, Molly Holly come back, Beth Phoenix, all in the ring. It was glorious. The people that won, Shinsuke Nakamura for the men's, and Asuka.
Yeah.
I do. And Asuka won for the girls, both Japanese wrestlers. And they will go on to fight. And at the end of the Royal Rumble, controversy, when Asuka was winning, who came out? Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is full-time WWE right now. And it's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Asuka at WrestleMania. Armbar versus armbar. Book it.
When is WrestleMania this year?
April 8th, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, sweet. Are you going? That's kind of in our backyard.
Heck yes, I'm going.
Are you? Let's see. Let's combine wrestling with New Orleans, Bourbon Street. Dude, that's like your trifecta.
Oh, you have no idea.
That's the holy
sir.
Trinity of Brian Kluber.
You have no idea.
Huh.
But yeah, interesting. Yeah, Ronda Rousey is in WWE.
Did anybody see that coming?
Yes. She has been rumored for quite a while, and it happened. We all kind of knew it, but it was supposed to be a surprise. Yeah, and she's out. She's full-time WWE, and she came out in a Rowdy Ronda Rousey shirt, kind of like Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Right.
So that might be her.
You mentioned last year that you would give up watching the WWE and never watch it again if you had to choose between that and the Japanese pro wrestling. Is that still the case?
That's still the case. New Japan Pro Wrestling is still a far better product than WWE.
Huh. As much as the WWE has given you all these years.
Well, yeah. I mean, as of right now, you're watching. WWE is such a different thing than it was back when we were growing up watching it. And so where WWE succeeds, New Japan might not, but New Japan has the better product, the better wrestling, the better stories right now.
All right. And well, I can't argue with you about wrestling.
It's very true, but in WWE, I still love, it's very difficult to watch and it's very difficult, you know, and you know what? Even so, Vince McMahon announced that he's bringing back the XFL.
Oh, my gosh. The guy's got too much money and time on his hands.
So, there you go.
All right. Well, as soon as the show is over, I'm going to go watch the new Cloverfield movie on Netflix.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you watched it immediately. Everybody was excited about this. They teased that in the Super Bowl. You watched it. You didn't like it.
It was so bad. I actually said,
but Cloverfield was bad. Every Cloverfield movie has been bad.
No, it hasn't.
The first Cloverfield movie was horrible.
It was so good. The characters were annoying, but it was a good.
You didn't even see the monster. It was that one-handed camera jerky stuff going on. You didn't like the characters. You didn't see the monster. It was just horrible to watch. People booed it.
I didn't. So, I liked that. And 10 Cloverfield Lane was dang good.
Now, that was solid. That was a solid film. It was solid, but yeah.
No.
All right.
You're not going to like the Cloverfield Paradox.
All right. Well, I'm going to watch it, then we'll text you because we got to get out of here tonight. But I'm going to watch it because I got a feeling it's going to be better than you say.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so again, check me out, mongolshow.com. Check Brian out, boomstickcomics.com, High Def Digest. My friend, always a pleasure hanging out, talking movies and stuff with you. And we'll do it again. We got Black Panther coming up and Annihilation, a lot of fun stuff. So I know I'll see you in a screening, and then we can chat about it right here on the show.
Is Black Panther a prequel to Black Stallion or Black Beauty?
No.
Okay.
Dude, it's a prequel to Pink Panther.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Oh my God! I don't know. You don't know how much I love you right now.
It's Brother Clouseau.
That was excellent.